This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, folks, and welcome to call number 47 of the CCT review team. I see that roll call's been taken from the Adobe Connect. Is there anybody that's on the phone but not present and accounted for in Adobe Connect? All right, is there anybody with an update to the statement of interest? All right. Hearing none, let's launch in to a discussion of the INTA study. Got some musical background, that's helpful. Who wants to start things off in terms of how this affects our graft and reaction to the study? Jordan, do you think that it has an impact on the parking analysis? Watto, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope there isn't too much background noise. I've only managed to look at the slides. So, hello? Hello?
Can you hear me? We can hear
you. I've only managed to look at the slides. And I can see that we'll have to at least change a little bit our conclusions regarding choice. I have a copy of our report here. I don't know whether it's the same page numbering, but on page 16, we had a conclusion in which we said initial indications are that the new GTLD program has led to a dramatic increase in consumer choice. I think we'll have to kind of edit that to take into consideration what this INTA study has said about choice not really being very helpful for the trademark community. And I think there's also another part 7. I think it's page 36, part 7, where we are talking more about consumer choice. I think we'll also have to edit that. I don't know exactly what thing we shall use, but those are two areas I can see which are impacted by this INTA study.
Thanks, Watto. Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I think there's a couple. I think, you know, Watto's right that it definitely makes sense to incorporate some of the information from the INTA study into the consumer choice portion of the report. I think it's clear that for the trademark holders who responded, that the, you know, they view the program largely as an obligation as opposed to choice. I think that's probably not surprising. I wouldn't say necessarily inconsistent with our previous findings, but we can add some, I think, some data and some clarity of language around that. We do have a slightly better quantification, at least for these larger. It seems to tend to be larger brands, what the sort of total cost to them of the defensive registrations looks like. It seems like it's a little hard to say. So one thing that's interesting that we can probably roll up is that whereas our previous look at defensive registrations by trademark holders looked on a per domain registration basis, the INTA study looked at a per entity basis and also concluded that most of the defensive activities actually happening by those that have a, can't remember the word Lori used, but something like a large amount of trademark activity. And so, you know, in particular, like a consumer goods company that has hundreds or thousands of brands, this program, but you know, is generally seeing much higher defense registration costs than a company that doesn't do a lot of trademark branding activity. So if you only had one brand, for example, and you didn't, you weren't as active using it online, then the cost probably, it sounds like, wouldn't be as high. And it's a slightly different angle than looking at a per domain basis. So it might be that a individual entity is only registering each trademark, you know, a relatively small number of times, but if you have 1,000 domains that you need to register, that can still end up being expensive. It's probably worth reflecting that in our report as well. The one observation that I did make, or that's worth taking a look at, is I think this also helps us understand whether or not the defensive registrations are really driving the total volume of domains in new GTLDs. I think there's been some speculation in the past that, you know, Maureen even raised this on the last call, of like, if all the registrations in the new GTLDs are defensive registration by brands, that's really not very good for the program. It doesn't really indicate competition. I think actually the data that we have is helpful in confirming that that's not the case. If you look at the sort of fraction of spend by these brands, it's lower. It's only about 7% of the total than in the new GTLDs, than the total sort of registration volume in new GTLDs globally, which is, I guess, depends on which set of data we use. But I remember the number 12% or something like that. So brands actually seem to be, we're not quite counting apples to apples because it's dollars versus number of registrations, but still it doesn't seem like, based on that data, the brands are actually underrepresented. These sort of defensive registrations are underrepresented as a total pool of the registered population. So probably gives at least some comfort that that sort of worst-case hypothesis isn't true, although we also have some data indicating that the, you know, there's some costs, or there's some way of thinking about costs that we didn't reflect in our original report that we probably should, as Wado says.
Thanks, Jordan. And I guess the other question is the degree to which we're able to see, I mean, it's so tough with 33 respondents to be definitive about this, because it's going to bias the results probably toward the higher trademark volume companies. But what, this notion of the changing distribution of defensive costs, in other words, it's not all about defensive registrations, but the impact generally and cease and desist letters and, rapid suspensions and things like that that are now alternatives that might be in higher use because of the high volume of, because of the sort of expensive nature of engaging purely in a defensive registration strategy. Lauren, go ahead.
I was just wondering, and I think this is to Jordan. Do we have information about the total cost spent by the brand owners? Because I think you just mentioned that as a percentage, you thought the data showed that they were underrepresented in new GTLD registrations. But I'm wondering from a dollar perspective if we have that information. And you may have just said that we didn't, but I just wanted to clarify that, because it seems to me that the money spent might be even more telling in the question of, you know, what role defensive registrations have played in the new GTLD purchasing.
Yeah, Lauren, I don't think we – I agree. Like, so we have to do sort of an apples-to-oranges comparison, which isn't great, obviously, because we know on the one hand, we know that new GTLDs for across the global population are, I don't remember, I think I keep coming back to 12%. I actually think it's a little higher than that now. But, you know, they're, you know, upwards of 10% of the total number of registrations. But that's not dollars. And then we know from the INTA study, at least, it's about 7% of the dollars that are being spent. So if you assumed everything costs the same price, then they would definitely be underrepresented. But as you say, we don't actually have transactional data. We don't know the total number of dollars being spent on new gTLDs versus legacy gTLDs outside of this survey. So we have to do a little bit of an apples to oranges comparison. Having said that, the fact that the percentage is lower than we see in the registration volumes, I think at least should give us some comfort that the, you know, it's clearly not the case that the overwhelming majority of the activity in the new gTLDs is being driven by defensive registration by brands in particular, just because that 7% is like too small a fraction in order for that to possibly be true.
Right, and that's reassuring.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely. Watto, go ahead. Watto, is that you? Do you have your hand up? Is that noise coming from Watto's line?
Is that noise coming from Watto's line?
Doesn't look like it.
Not like
it. Oh, maybe it is. Watto? Okay. Carlton, do you want to just come on and discuss things verbally so we're not all trying to multitask? Okay. So, Carlton was saying that the defensive coupled with parking as something significant. Jordan, is that a new hand to respond to Carlton?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit to respond to Carlton. I mean, I think my point to Carlton is the same I made with Laureen, which is I do think we need to add in to the report that it is clear that for trademark holders at least, the new gTLDs largely represent a defensive cost, not a consumer choice. So we should have some language to that effect. On the same hand, I don't think it's inconsistent with what we had previously found regarding the fact that this probably isn't the sort of dominating factor in registrations, but there's other classes for non-trademark holders. I think our previous conclusions probably still hold, and there seems to be it seems that we can conclude there's a large amount of activity by these other people, since the volume by the trademark holders likely isn't the dominant portion. I was going to say, though, just in terms of thinking about next steps to perhaps give us something stronger to react to, I can certainly try to take a stab at incorporating this into the consumer choice section of the document. And I think there's a section on RPM protection, which actually looks mostly positive. I think it actually is very consistent with what we had already written, the work that David had already done on RPMs, which is that, you know, URS is helpful for some people, not helpful for others due to its limitations. Sunrise and UDRP were generally positive. And, you know, some quantification of the other types of enforcement activity. David could incorporate all that data into his section on RPMs, and that would give us some concrete text to respond to, as opposed to this sort of more free-form discussion. Although, if people have additional inputs they want to make sure gets into those sections, I think probably now is the time to raise them.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess the other thing that isn't really extrapolatable is any kind of total cost of trademark owners because of the small sample size. It doesn't even feel like there's a rational extrapolation to be made. David, do you have a sense of how the study's being received in the IP community?
Hi, Jonathan. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, a little bit noisy, but we can hear you.
Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, you can. Okay, sorry. No one was replying, so I assume no one could hear me. I don't know as yet. There's quite a bit of discussion. I'm looking at online, but we head off to the IMTA meeting itself, which starts on Saturday of this week. So we'll be discussing it there. So I'll have more to add once we've gone through and we've got a couple of sessions we'll be looking at it, and I'll discuss with people. And then, of course, I'll have to read it.
Yeah, that would be good. Can we make it a homework assignment for you to kind of provide a IP-centric reaction to it in terms of distribution of defensive costs? And is there a sense of vindication in the IP community or a sense of vindication that the money is just not being spent this way?
Yeah, no, I'll try and get that. The meeting runs Saturday to Thursday, so I'm not sure whether I can make the call next Wednesday because that clashes with other things as well. So certainly when I'm back from INTA, I'll have that. Or if not, I can send it an email around summarizing some of the discussions if I can't make the call next week, which is likely.
All right, great, David. That's great. I mean, we just want to make sure that we're not putting something out there and missing something and find its way into an IPC comment, right? I mean, I think the key is to participate as much as possible in advance.
Absolutely. That's good.
Other thoughts on the study? So, Jordan, you're going to take a swath at updating choice. I guess, Laureen, is there anything that I feel like it's very anecdotal, but is there anything about trust, et cetera, that you feel was affected that the study reveals? I don't really see it, but I want to make sure I'm not overlooking it in terms of the kind of anecdotal complaints that people had about how sunrise periods were handled and dust sucks and things like that. I don't think it really came out in the study.
Yeah, you know, that is more outside of the study, at least my general impression. But I'll take a look at it through that lens and report back.
Thanks, Lorraine. And Carlton's forwarding something from NCUC to you as well, it looks like, in the chat. All right, any other thoughts or comments on this, on the INTA study? All right, thanks, folks. We will revisit with David and Lorraine and Jordan's updates to the choice section of the report. Without further ado, I'll hand the microphone to Jordan to lead a discussion on parking.
Yeah, actually, I think this will be a brief discussion because after just signing myself up for more homework, I haven't yet finished this bit of homework. But I did spend a little bit of time over the past week trying to figure out how to address the discussion on parking that we had a couple of weeks ago and wanted to just suggest what I'm planning on trying to incorporate, and I think this will help capture some of the conversation that we had, but wanted to get sort of feedback, I know, including from Kylie, who had raised the issue of parking on the Chinese TLDs in general. I think, as we noted on our last discussion of parking, there's already, an analysis group has already taken the numbers and given us some revised market share and concentration calculations. And once again, to remind folks, the summary of that is that the market share calculations, once you take car parking into account for the total new GTLD market, decreases the impact of the new TLD expansion significantly, but it's still directionally the case that new GTLDs are a significant part of the growth, just not the sort of 50% number or even higher that we've been talking about in terms of the initial report. And in terms of the market concentration statistics, we don't actually see a very significant effect, largely just because the market already looks fairly concentrated, even without taking parking into consideration. I think the things that we had discussed potentially identifying are trying to take a look and see how the two things. First of all, take a look at how the whether there actually is a relationship between the renewal rates in the new GTLDs and the parking rates, since the hypothesis in sort of backing out the new GTL the parking GTLDs is that they might renew with at a lower rate. And Antoinette has helpfully forwarded some data that I can because available, and I'm going to finally respond to her in the next couple of days and figure out what we could probably use as renewal rate. Unfortunately, ICANN doesn't have an actual metric that is renewal rate, so we'll have to use a composite from some other data that they have. And then secondly, I think Kylie suggested taking a look at the set of Chinese GTLDs in particular. We don't have a way to look at Chinese registrants like the same way we have with the LAC data, because no one's gone through all the Whois data to try to figure it out. But I think Kylie did identify a data source that sort of shows the top TLDs related to that look like they have Chinese registrants in them, and to look at parking rates in that particular market and see how it looks. So to do sort of a breakout on the China market, because Kylie's flagged that as looking particularly interesting. We haven't run those numbers yet. If the numbers, I think, do look particularly interesting, then I think we could incorporate that into the report as well. Hopefully that should be a relatively straightforward exercise, just looking at a particular cluster of GTLD. So that's what I'm hoping we can incorporate in, but both of those are going to require some additional analysis, so it may take a few weeks to pull it all in. So that's the plan that I have, at least. I wanted to make sure there weren't other parking-related projects or work streams that folks wanted to include before we try to do that.
That feels like pretty good coverage to me, but to others, please raise your hand. Elisa, please.
Thanks, Jordan. I just had a question on the analyses you just mentioned. Is that something you need us to do, or we need analysis groups to assist us with? I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
So if we can, we'll have to see whether we can do the renewal rates one. I think that will be I think you guys can probably, so some of it needs to come from ICANN. When you guys have the data that would allow the computation of renewal rate by UTLD, that's based on the monthly reports. And so Antoinette has forwarded to me the list of metrics that you guys have available, so I think it's a matter of sort of deciding how to use them. And then secondly, there's an effort of calculating correlation between parking rate and renewal rates, and I don't know. I think it would be helpful to get Stan's input or and or analysis group onto what the best way to sort of think about that as a statistical problem is, to see whether there's a correlation or not.
Right. I agree with you. We looked at the numbers, and there's several ways we could do it. So it kind of depends on what approach you'd like to take. But on the first point, which is calculating the renewal rates in certain TLDs, that also, I mean, there's, you know, as you know, there's different ways of looking at renewals and how long the renewals are. So I'm just wondering what your, what approach you had in mind, or if you had one in mind.
Yeah. So I will, I mean, we can talk about this right now. If people, I guess we have half an hour still, and not much of an agenda. So if people get too bored, let me know and we could take this off inside. So the registers don't report a renewal rate per se. The proper way to compute it would probably be to take the set of domains that are eligible for renewal as a denominator and the set that are actually renewed as a numerator, and that's your renewal rate. Unfortunately, we only know the number of things that are actually renewed and not the number that are available, are eligible to be renewed. However, it is also mostly the case that domains aren't deleted except for at the end when they aren't renewed. So we could probably use the sum of renewed domains and deleted domains as the denominator, with the renewed domains as the numerator, and call that renewal rate, and then just look at that over, I don't know, a year period or something, at least a year into whenever a domain, a new gTLD is launched, but figure out some reasonable period to calculate that over. That's I was trying to write something like that down, but that would be roughly what I would think the best we could do with the ICANN data would be.
I mean, that sounds reasonable to me. I think it's, I think we'd all have to acknowledge it's still kind of an imperfect calculation, but I'd be interested in hearing if others have other opinions.
I can't think of a more perfect one. The other folks have a comment on this? I don't see anything in the chat. That seems like a good agenda. Go ahead, Aliza.
Sorry, I was just going to say the only other caveat would be we'd want to take out those TLDs that haven't even been around a year yet. So, and I'm presuming we would remove brands as well.
Yeah, brands for sure. I mean, I guess the if the extent of which it's a percentage, then the amount of time it's been delegated isn't as relevant, right?
I'm sorry, say that again, Jonathan.
If we're talking in percentages, then the time since delegation is not as relevant, right?
Well, if a TLD hasn't been around for... I mean, if
yeah, the TLD has to have been.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Yeah, so you have to wait till the TLD has been launched for a year before it's useful to start performing this calculation.
They wouldn't have had any renewals otherwise.
Right.
Oh, right. Well,
to the extent there are, they're not part of the sort of expiration life cycle. They're part of just like people spontaneously renewing ahead of schedule. So, yeah, I think you have to wait till a TLD has been launched for a year before you start producing the calculation. So you start, like, it's like the last 6 months of data, provided that all of those months are at least, you know, 15 months into the life of a new gTLD or something like that.
Right.
Yes, Wado's asking, are there longer periods than there are? They're categorized from 1 to 10 years.
make things interesting. Any other questions or comments? All right, Jordan. We'll revisit this per your indication, based on when you feel like it's a good time to put it back on the agenda.
Great, thanks.
Review of public comment received from the working group. Jean-Baptiste?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. So so far we still have three public comments received, the latest one being the one from the new GTLD subsequent procedures group. So what I tried to do for you is to prepare a quick summary of their input in case you have not read it yet. So before I start, just a reminder that the closing date of the public comment period is this Friday at midnight UTC. So if you have a chance to share the public comment page, please do so. So looking at the different comments that were received from the subpro working group, the many commented on, of course, the recommendations that were targeted to them. So in terms of high-level feedback, there were many requests on clarifying the language, and so forth, and also on providing a definition of some terminology. So here, they are asking to clarify how strictly the CTRT expects their group to interpret and adhere to the language of the recommendations. They ask for more detail into the report about procedural elements. And as we have a few recommendations directed, for example, to ICANN or to the board and to the sub-provoking group, they have to clarify whether this recommendation is targeting all at the same time or some parts of the recommendation of just for one group, some other for the other groups. And also there were a few question marks on some priority levels where they realized that it might not cope with their own processes, and from a timing perspective, it would be hard also for an organization to complete the data collection and share it with the working group. So I'm just going to go into more detail on each recommendation for you. So the first one on recommendation number 10 here on the screen. So there's three main comments. First is that they are still deliberating on who would be the appropriate target for this recommendation. They ask that the review team clarifies the costs related to defensive registration, which one are included in this term and for whom. And finally, why does this recommendation specifically refers to a small number of brands registering a large number of domains. I don't know if you want to react already or if I can just move on with just the review as you wish, Jonathan.
I would say just move on. I mean, I think okay. You have some sense of how folks can stop ask questions
okay.
as they go.
Yeah, so under the consumer trust section, so recommendation number 14, create incentives to encourage GTLD registries to meet user expectations. So this one is directed to the sub-provoking group. So their comments here is to define what do we mean by user expectations, adding more details required about the rationale for encouraging content to match the TLD's understood purpose. Clarify how the reference to relationship of content of a GTLD to its name is consistent with Section 1.1 of the ICANN bylaws. On Recommendation 33, they ask that we clarify the target audience of this recommendation. So it's, again, as it's targeted to ICANN.org, the PDP working group, and future CCTV teams, they just want to make sure that this is... So all of the recommendation applies for all the different groups. And the second comment is to provide a more targeted definition of trustworthiness. On recommendation 14, so here they again just ask that we clarify the target audience for this recommendation. On recommendation 35, this is the same comments as well. It's again targeted at ICANN.org, the PDP working group, and future CCTV teams. Still on safe words on recommendation 36. So here they ask for clarification on how does the recommendation fits within the scope of the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group, and clarify when the PDP working group will gather public comments. They also would like to us to provide more clarity on the term undue preferences and how these impact competition. Still on safeguards, recommendation 38. So this is to them this is properly assigned, and they understood the recommendation. And finally, their comment is to the extent PICs are part of subsequent procedures, they will incorporate it into their relevant discussions. Also, what I wanted to mention is that they also raised several times that the call that the CCTRT had with them on April 10th was really helpful on clarifying some of the recommendations, so they were really grateful on that. So moving on to the recommendation 39, still on safeguards. So here they have more comments on this one, although this is appropriately assigned. So they have remarks regarding the concept of PICs and their applicability for subsequent procedures under consideration. They ask for more information on whether this would prevent the inclusion of voluntary PICs after application submission. And they suggested to reword this recommendation as follows. So all voluntary commitments made by an applicant should be submitted during the application process, such that there is sufficient opportunity for community review and time to meet the deadlines for community and limited public interest objections. Finally, the working group is considering whether commitments can be modified at the time of application or as a result of GAG advice, and they are wondering how this would fit with the CCTRT recommendations. Next one, under application and evaluation in the draft report, recommendation 43 on setting objectives for application from the Global South. So here, this is again appropriately assigned and underway within the track one. They ask for clarification on how rigidly this recommendation should be interpreted. Will the focus will be exclusively on goals for number of applications and number of delegated strings, or could objective for the Global South extend to other measures as well? So here, in terms of terminology, they ask that the CCTRT provides a clear definition of Global South in the report, and this is something that comes back later on in the application and evaluation section as well. We'll get back to that. And especially here under recommendation 46, so it's mentioning the term undeserved communities, and they are wondering whether undeserved communities and Global South are distinct terms or interchangeable. This recommendation 46 is appropriately assigned to the group and is underway within work track one. They are wondering if this recommendation pertains only to costs of applying for a new GTLD, additional post-application fees such as objection-related fees, also applies to operating costs. Moving on to the next one, recommendation 47. This is appropriately assigned, but they are requiring that the CCTRT clarifies the scope of this recommendation. And on recommendation 48, this is this is a remark. This is appropriately assigned and considered within track 3. Recommendation 49, still under application and evaluation, is the same, properly assigned and considered within track 3. And last one, recommendation 50, last one in the report. They believe here that the priority needs to be reconsidered, as the working group may have completed its work by the time this recommendation should be implemented. And they wonder whether this shall be redirected to another party. So they would like us to clarify the intended time frame. So that's the summary for their different inputs, and in any case, we'll have once the public comment period is closed to review all the different comments received and to work on action items and draft updates.
Thanks, Jean-Baptiste. I mean, I think everybody knows what they own of this, so I think the key is to either make come up with answers to propose on the next call to these questions, and if there's consensus around this, then incorporate them into the incorporate the adjustments or clarifications into the final report.
Correct.
That makes sense to everybody?
Makes sense.
Awesome. And then, Jean-Baptiste, draft report edits?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. So, on this part, so you all have received, together with the plenary co-invitation, so the draft report and the 93 edits on footnotes. So this is the result of a thorough review from Brian on the footnotes in the draft report. We can review these edits right now and check whether those can be incorporated in the draft final report, and so this is following the process that was adopted during our plenary call 2 weeks ago. So I'm just gonna keep this on screen. I'm sorry if you can't scroll down, but I'll guide you. I'm trying to make it as big as possible, and I'm gonna share the link in the chat to this document in case you don't find it in your inbox. So this is it. This is still quite small. It will be ideal if you can follow that directly on your computer, because I'm just afraid it might be too small for some of you. So the first one is an update of footnote number 3. So it's a change on, most of these changes are mainly giving more details on the footnote, and maybe Brian, you can give some more input on that.
Before you launch in, Brian, thanks a lot for doing this work. I mean, it's really important to get some of these details right. Do you have a sense of the subset of these that might be controversial because you've made a change to the text as opposed to a reference update or something like that? I think going through and approving those changes feels like an unproductive task.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I agree. I don't think it's necessary to go through each one. All I did was I noticed some sort of inconsistencies in the references. We had agreed that we would sort of have a long version of the reference as the first reference, and every subsequent
right.
reference would be a short version. And, of course, we have a bibliography, so readers can sort of always reference with that. But that's all I did. So I just made sure the long version came first, and every subsequent reference was the short version, and in the appropriate format. So that's it. I don't think it should be too controversial, but free to review it as you wish.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I think it really adds to professionalism of the report. So, I mean, I don't want to in any way diminish the importance of the task. I just think it's probably not controversial enough to focus on. I mean, I welcome people going through their sections of the report and particularly looking for any textual-based footnotes and making sure that those are still things you're happy with. But straight references, I for one, am happy to trust Brian's efforts in this particular area. Any questions or comments about that? Is there any other business?
Jonathan, if I can just add something, would it be possible, like, if you still want people, Rivety members, to review these changes in the footnotes, would it be possible, like, to set up a deadline just to make sure that we can consider those approved and that a clean version can be updated to the wiki for those who wish to update the draft report?
Yes. Sometime within the next couple of days, let's say by the end of the week, that each person goes to, as I said, just to clarify the task, I think it's to go to the footnotes where there's more than just a site, but where there's text, and make sure that those still read the way you want them to read, and get back with any changes. Otherwise, we'll consider these changes final by the end of the week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Any other business? Oh, Aliza.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to add on the public comments that ICANN organization will be hopefully we're planning on submitting our comment in time to meet the deadline on Friday. So I just wanted to let you know that that was coming. And that's it.
All right, great. Jordan, if you're not done yet, do you know whether there's a comment in process from the registries?
Yeah, there is.
Okay. I think, David, if he's still, I think there's one in process from the IPC and DC as well. But I don't know about beyond that. Any other questions or comments? All right, folks, thanks for joining the call.
Thanks, Jonathan.